we're teaching you is catching the waves of revival. On last evening, I gave you very specific instructions on reading the introduction, chapter 1, and then moving on to chapter number 18. Catching the waves of revival could possibly be one of the classes that God uses to shift your mind and our mindsets to functioning in a greater measure of the apostolic. I want to mention briefly again, we're in chapter 1, which is revival, a divine attack on society. We learned last week that revival is heaven's fire, overruling hell's fire. See, there's a lot of hellish things going on in the world and even in the church. But we must understand that in revival, Holy Ghost fire, being filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire, overrules all the works of the enemy. Now, on last evening when we were together, there's a definition of the apostolic that I want to bring to your memory this evening. What it says: the supernatural, we talking about the apostolic, that statement, it's about the supernatural. I had you read it just a few minutes ago. Opening up the portals of heaven, that is the purpose of the apostolic. The purpose of the apostolic is to create a heaven to earth government, which allows the portals of the supernatural to be open. That gives all of us access that can only happen through apostolic government. Now we're going to pick up where we left off last week on chapter 1, dealing with the 7 Old Testament revivals and the 9 characteristics of revival. That's where we're picking up. Let's begin. The first outstanding revival is Jacob's household. It's found in Genesis chapter 35, verses 1 through 15. Jacob, during this revival, said unto all of his household and all that was with him, number one, get rid of all foreign gods. He instructed them to purify themselves and to change their clothes. Then come and go to Bethel, where he would build an altar to God. Now, you know, Bethel in the scriptures mean what? The house of God. So he built an altar. The house of God, unfortunately, today is understood as a building on a corner. That's the church's concept of the house of God. But the house of God is literally the people of God. For God said in his word, the day would come that I would no longer dwell in temples made with hands. You remember under the old covenant, he instructed Moses to build a tabernacle. And that tabernacle, if viewed from an aerial position, would look like a man. Because God's spirit lives on the inside of men and women. That's the true church. The church means ecclesia. Those who have been called out of what? Darkness into his marvelous light. You remember when Jesus gave up the ghost, the scripture says that the curtain was rent from top to bottom in the temple. signifying what? That God's presence no longer is in a temple made with hands, but his spirit and his presence would be made available to all of those who call on the name of Jesus. So in Jacob's revival, he, number one, he said, get rid of all of your gods, all of your idols. Then sanctify yourselves, which means separate yourself unto me. There's no separating ourselves unto him without the renewing of the mind. There must be a transformation of the soul. Go ahead.
The people gave Jacob
all of their foreign gods
that they had,
and all of the rings that were in their ears, and Jacob buried them.
The Lord responded immediately
to their service of rededication. And the threat of an enemy's invasion
immediately ended.
Why? When did that happen? In revival. See, in revival, there's what? Man's part and God's part. You never have to worry about God doing his part. You listening? We must always do our part. When we study the scriptures, as apostles have been training us, let's quit getting excited about the promises and the blessings without focusing on what is our role that we play. God's part is already done. But we as apostolic believers, we must go to the scriptures and say, as Isaiah said, what will you have me to do? What's my part in this? All right, go ahead.
Number two.
The second revival.
King Asa.
The references are 2 Chronicles,
chapter 15,
verses 1 through 15.
Revival came to Israel
because they had been without the true God,
or a teaching priest,
or instruction.
When Asa heard the word of Azariah,
the prophet,
the priest Asa took courage
and renovated the altar. In other words, he restored the altar back to its original purpose. Y'all know what you do at the altar? You pray. Are you listening? As a little Kojic boy coming up in the church, we always gathered around the altar and prayed. Now we have this modern church today. And back in the days when I was coming through, I'm 64 years old, 46, but 64. In the days that I was coming through, they didn't have a lot of material things. They didn't have the revelation of money cometh and wealth. But I tell you, they did have power. They had power. You know why? Because they realized that God was their only source of strength and hope to survive in this world. They believe in holiness, sanctification, consecration. Are you listening? These are all things that happen during the times of revival. Go ahead.
Revival came.
The people rejoiced.
And the Lord gave them rest
on every side.
Revival number three.
In the days of King Jehoash. The references are 2 Kings chapters 11 and 12 and 2 Chronicles chapters 23 and 24.
Revival came
when Jehoiada, the priest, gave instructions and all the people of the land
went to the temple of Baal
and they tore it down. Baal was a foreign god that the other nations of the world worshiped. And when you start looking at church history and understanding the scripture that it was other, there's no other God but God. You listening? There's only one true and living God. But false gods got to be pulled down. False idols have to be torn down in order for there to be true worshipers of the living God. You listening? One done without change in our inner life, there can be no outer change. Go ahead.
They killed the wicked king's
mother. They killed, notice this, they killed the wicked king's mother.
Jehoash replaced the wicked king.
Jehoash replaced the wicked king
on the royal throne.
And all the people rejoiced.
And revival came in the
land. And the city was calm. So now we see another aspect of revival. Huh? It'll change the whole city. See, one of the things that's happening in the church is that the cultures of the world have invaded the church. The church looks so secular. The church is striving to be like the world. The church does things like the world. Lots of organizational things, social things. But the kingdom of God is not social. The kingdom of God comes with government. And the kingdom of God requires change within the people. Are you listening? Go ahead.
Revival number four.
King Hezekiah's day. The references are 2 Kings. Chapter 18, verses 4 through 7, and 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 31. Revival under King Hezekiah's reign is one of the most sudden of those that are recorded in the scripture. Because it happened so quickly, so swiftly. King Hezekiah began a work of restoration at the beginning of his reign.
And within a couple of months,
the whole land was swept. The whole land was swept
with a wave of spiritual enthusiasm. Marks of his revival were.
Now, these are the marks of the revival in King Hezekiah's day. They were consecration,
a recommitment
to the covenant,
purification of the temple,
restoration of worship,
and sacrifice and singing.
Didn't I tell you last week that revival is based upon what? The principle of continuance. Don't look at these revivals as being separate. Are you listening? They are connected. So what you see happening in one is also going over into the other. The purpose of true revival is to change cities, nations, and governments. Go ahead.
Revival number five.
King Josiah. The scriptural references are 2 Kings, chapters 22 and 23, and 2 Chronicles, chapters 34 and 35. These are the two revivals that took place after the exile. Josiah was the godly son
of the evil Manasseh,
who led Israel astray.
The people
had no clue
of
what was required of them. Does that sound familiar? Like priests, like people. You know what the scripture said in the book of Hosea, chapter 4? I believe it's verse 6. My people are destroyed because of what? A lack of knowledge. Now, if I left you right there, you would have something to have an excuse. But it's not just the lack of knowledge. The Bible says because the priests rejected knowledge. See, that's happening even today, not only amongst the priests, but amongst people. Because the secular has crept in, people don't want government anymore. They want to fulfill the song. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. I can't tell you who to sock it to. Now, you know you done heard that in the world. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. It's not your thing. The Bible says you are not your own. You were bought with a price. And the price that we were purchased with is the precious blood of the Lamb. So therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Are you listening? But you cannot glorify God in your body and in your spirit except what? Your soul be saved. You listening? Because the soul must be renewed. In Ephesians 4:23, it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What does that mean? That means that through the Holy Spirit, we must bring our souls into subjection. Are you listening? Now, you know what Romans 12:1-3 say. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present what? Your bodies are what? A living sacrifice. A what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our what? Reasonable, a spiritual service. But be not what? Conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the what? All right, so there's no transformation without the renewing of the mind. So revival come to bring a transformation. You listening? You'll find out later that there can be no restoration without reformation. Are you listening? And none of that can happen without a transformation of the soul. In the new birth, the soul is not saved. See, man is a tripartite being or a triune being, spirit, soul, and body. In the new birth, the spirit of man is born of God. The spirit of man have received God's nature imparted unto us by the regenerating power of the Holy Ghost. But the mind of man, the soul of man, has not been saved. So the scriptures teach us in James chapter 1, it says, it talks about laying aside all superfluity of naughtiness and receiving with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to what? Save our souls. And I believe it's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. It says, receiving the end of your salvation. Make sure that's the right reference. Receiving the end of your faith, which is what? Even the salvation of your soul. So the purpose of faith, what is the purpose of faith? To deal with my mind. See, in Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 18, all of the armor of God is not designed for your spirit, not designed for your body, it's designed for your mind. When you pull on the whole armor of God, you are clothing your mind, because once your spirit and your soul are in alignment, the body gonna do what it's supposed to do. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Go ahead.
As a teenager king,
Josiah began to seek God.
And purged the land of
what? All idols.
While repairing the temple,
the book of the law was found.
And he heard it.
The people recommitted themselves
to the covenant.
And they expressed this in a massive
Passover festival.
Now, y'all notice again, in that revival, what happened? Idols had to be discarded. Now, I know some of y'all don't think you have an idol. Are you listening? Your husband can be your idol. Your wife can be your idol. Your children can be your idol. I know it's going to get quiet up in here. Your job can be your idol. Your hobby can be your idol. Anything that occupies God's space is an idol. God said, you shall have what? No other gods before me. Are you listening? Oh, it's quiet. Go ahead. Revival number six. Under Zerubbabel. The scriptural references. Ezra chapters 5 and 6. Hezekiah and Zechariah prophesied to the people. And the people returned back to their God. For 7 days, they celebrated with joy the festival of unleavened bread. Revival had come. Revival number seven.
Under Nehemiah's time.
The scriptural references are Nehemiah chapter 9 and Nehemiah chapter 12, verses 44 through 47. The people fasted and did what? Repentance is not only repenting of sin and from sin. Repentance means I'm going to have a 360. I'm going in another direction. Repentance means I'm going to change the way I think about this situation. What does that mean? Repentance means my thoughts must become God thoughts. You ever read Isaiah 55, verse 6? Well, if you haven't, get to it. Seems like it'll be a good place to tell it to you. Isaiah 55, we're only going to read 6 through 8. Read.
Seek ye the Lord
while he may be found.
Call ye upon him
while he is near.
Let the wicked man
or woman forsake his way.
And the unrighteous man.
Notice in that verse you have way and what? Thoughts. Way and thoughts. Thoughts lead to feelings. Feelings lead to ways. And ways lead to what? Definite action. Action. And actions lead to what? Definite results. So you see how it works? Huh? Your thoughts is how you carry out life. It's the way you're going to act. Because thoughts are cause you to feel a certain way. You got it? And if you feel a certain way, you're most definitely going to act a certain way. And if you act a certain way, you're going to get results. Come on, husband and wives. Come on now. You have bad thoughts about each other. So now you're going to say something that the Holy Spirit is telling you, don't you dare say that. Oh, no, but I'm mad because she burnt the beans and this is her fifth time. Okay, y'all don't want me to go there. I'll use another example. He come home from work. And what he do? Fuss at you after you get from work because he want the house clean and food on the table while he throw his boots to the side, cheesy socks down, grab the remote control and want you to be a slave. Now you mad, right? You going to tell him about yourself. And when you go to do it, the Holy Spirit say, no, I'm working on him. This sucker need help right now. I'm just trying to show you how these things go. Thoughts lead to feelings, right? And the enemy going to feed you negative thoughts to make you act in a certain way so you can thwart the purpose of God. Oh, my goodness. So thought lead to feeling, feelings lead to ways, ways lead to actions, and actions lead to definite results. Okay, go ahead, Doc.
The choir sang,
and they offered great sacrifices.
It was heard all over the land.
Revival had come. It amazes me how the Holy Spirit is emphasizing that revival is not just to impact your little block. God wants cities besieged with his power. See, many of us who are not familiar with the Azusa Street revival, Azusa, that's when Pentecost came to the United States of America by a man by the name of William Seymour. You don't read about him in church history a lot, but these were modern day apostles. Are you listening? And because of racism and prejudice, you listening? Much of what was done on Azusa Street was turned another way because some people don't believe that certain people with certain colors of skin are qualified to lead them. But the first outpouring of the Holy Ghost known in America was on Azusa Street. Out of that revival came many powerful apostles, powerful churches who have lost their way. Because when you exalt the church more than you exalt Jesus, now y'all quiet. Now you're quiet. Jesus ain't coming back for a church name. He coming back for a people who know him. So I don't care if you're Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Pentecostal. You can have all the labels. But the labels do not define the contents. Not always. I remember as a little boy when my mother needed sugar. She would give us a blue plate mayonnaise, mayo jar. You go to your neighbor, she fill it up with sugar. Now the label says mayonnaise, right? But the contents were sugar. So the label didn't define what was in the jar. But you ready for this? But the contents can always define the label. You got that? In other words, quit wearing titles that you don't qualify for. Oh, Lord, have mercy. How you gonna be an apostle with no experience? That's why God sent us to this school of ministry, so we can know the difference between false apostles and true apostles. And we can know that the church is built upon the apostolic. What is the apostolic? The five graces. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, according to Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, and according to 1 Corinthians 12, 27 and 28, which we covered on last session. Okay, we must understand that without those five graces, the church cannot be built. And the church will not be moved forward except we understand that he said in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, gifts of healings, working of miracles, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. It's the same list that's found in Ephesians 4, 11 and 1 Corinthians 12, 27 and 28. Same list. You just have the giftings mentioned. Jesus in Ephesians 4 gave and 1 Corinthians 12, 27, 28, God said. Okay, go ahead.
In the book,
Reviving Revival, it summarizes the nine outstanding characteristics of these major Old Testament revivals. Number one,
it occurred in a day of deep
moral darkness. And national depression. Did you hear that? Revival in those days occurred in a day of what? Deep, come on, moral darkness. Now, you don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to figure out that in 2023, we're living in a day of deep moral darkness. You can't even say gay is gay. Gay pride. Y'all don't want to talk to me up in here. Are you listening? I mean, it's all over the TV. It's in textbooks. They want to teach children that it's okay for a man to be with a man and a woman to be with a woman. That's deep moral darkness. They even come to the church and say, y'all got to marry us. Hell to the no, no, no. God, when God said, back to his original plan, what God had joined together, let no man put asunder. He ain't talking about who you chose. Because if you tell the truth, you didn't even consult him. Well, that's okay. I'm going to go over here. What was God talking about? God joined together male and female. God did that. That's God's original plan, never to be deviated from. There's no way a woman can have a woman and call her wife. And a man can have a husband and call him another man and call him husband. That is not popular today. But this is not going on just in the world, children. We have whole ministries that are being built up on homosexuality and lesbianism and bisexualism. You better hear what I'm saying. Well, y'all are archaic. Y'all just are not up with the times. You know what the scriptures say? Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. If it wouldn't be for grace, where would the church be? Go ahead.
Number two.
It began in the hearts of one consecrated servant of God.
Who became the energizing power
behind the revival. God uses that vessel
to quicken
and lead the nations back to faith
and in obedience
to God. Number three,
each revival rested
on the word of God,
and most were
the result
of preaching
and proclaiming God's law
and prophecy
with, notice that, with what?
Power.
The scripture said Jesus taught as one having what? Authority and power. That's why men gravitated to him. The church today, people gravitate for what? Charisma, entertainment, emotion. All right, go ahead.
Number four.
All resulted in a return to the true worship
of Jehovah.
Number five.
Each witnessed
the destruction of high places,
idols,
and false religions,
and gods.
Number six.
In each revival,
there was a recorded separation
from sin,
complete cleansing,
holiness
and purity.
Notice it said in every revival.
What I said?
So
if revival is based on the principle of continuance,
it would have seemed
to me that we would understand
that
the church will not be accepted by the world.
Now y'all quiet,
but can I preach up in here?
No, I'm supposed to be teaching.
Listen to me.
The world
should be despising the church
because
the church is supposed to tell the world
that's not
God.
That's
not acceptable
according
to what the word says.
As a matter of
fact, Moses,
the Bible teaches,
was raised
in
Pharaoh's house.
You understand
Pharaoh was the
king of Egypt.
You listening?
King of the
world.
And God
put Moses
in
Egypt's
highest
place,
Pharaoh's house.
But when
Moses came of
age
and
recognized,
I was taught
all of this Egyptian
stuff,
but I look
like them Hebrews over
there.
And I
see y'all oppressing
my brethren.
Are you listening?
So
Moses said, I'm
not going to
enjoy
the pleasures
of sin for a season.
I'm going to
come against this. He didn't let that Egyptian, thank you, mess over his brethren. So he killed him. He supposed that they understood he was their deliverer. But when he saw them quarreling, two Hebrew brethren quarreling with one another, he tried to intervene, and they say, you're going to kill us like you did that Egyptian? Moses said, I got to get out of Dodge. You understand what I'm saying here. That's why God raises up apostolic government. And we have one, an Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. Look no farther. Don't search all over. That's why God have you in this school of ministry. And every teacher is up under apostolic government, because it's not about us. It's about the agenda that God has given Apostle Thompson for the body of Christ for this time. Go ahead. Number seven. In every revival, they exalted in the sacrifice of blood. Number eight. All recorded revivals show a restoration of great joy and gladness. Number nine. Each revival was followed by a period of great national prosperity. Revival means to renew, to reawaken, to reinvigorate, to restore the church to wholeness
and joy
in the Holy Spirit.
Revival is
God revealing himself
to men
in awesome holiness
and irresistible power.
True revivals
are marked by powerful
and often widespread
outpourings
of the Holy Ghost. Next week, we will get into chapter number 18, Times of the Revivalist. Now, there's a reason why God wants us to do it that way this year, because we're going to go to the end and show you how God raised up an Apostle Thompson, and then show you that he had to go through all of these steps to get where he is today. Enjoy your evening.